Welcome to the PreparedX podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 13 of the PreparedX podcast. And in this one, I'm going to be discussing exercise criteria. In episode 12, if you didn't listen to episode 12 or you didn't get to it yet, take your time to go back to that one because that's a good one. We talked a little bit about exercise objectives, and we went into some details around why it's important to have exercise objectives. And so if you get a chance, check that one out. But in this one, I want to talk about the criteria. So the criteria is what we use to evaluate those objectives that we set for the exercise. So, and criteria is really used very effectively where you have multiple facilities that are in the same within the same organization, and you want to benchmark one against the other. And so, having a preset criteria whereby you're going to go into each facility and evaluate each facility based on the same criteria, it works really well. And so, that gives you really a heat map at the end of the day is what you're looking for. To see where each facility lies against the others, and it will give you some common gaps across the organization. It will give you some gaps that are specific to one particular facility versus another one, and it will also provide you what good things are happening throughout the business as well that can be shared throughout the organization. So there's a lot of good things that come out of having. An exercise or having criteria to evaluate your exercise. So that's what I'm going to be discussing today. I'm going to talk about a tool that we use to evaluate our facilitators as well as our exercise evaluators to use when they're evaluating either a field operational exercise or a tabletop or an EOC type exercise. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. The criteria is often it's often chosen really based on you look at your objectives, but it also can be based on a standard or a regulatory requirement, and so that might drive what that criteria is. And so I'll talk a little bit about Fulcrum. Fulcrum is a tool that we use, again, both in the field as well as in an EOC, Emergency Operations Center, or a standard tabletop exercise. And it's a great tool for you to lay out your criteria and evaluate your each facility against each other. And so I'm just going to go through a sample of that just to get you, so you understand a little bit about the criteria. So essentially we have sections of the criteria, and within each section we ask a number of questions. And so in this particular example, we've got well over 100 questions that we ask as we're going through a particular exercise. Some of these questions are actually good questions that we ask ahead of time. So there's many of the criteria that you want to cover based on your objectives can be covered off before the exercise. So as you're going through the exercise process and the evaluation and using the criteria, you'll find out that even before the exercise, you can check a number of boxes in terms of what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to look at. And so what we typically have at the beginning the Fulcrum tool is very good because it'll allow you to, as you're going through the exercise as an evaluator, to type in what those results are. It may be a yes, no answer, or you may require some details putting in depending on what you're looking at. So it's a very good tool for that. So the first section that we typically look at is general information, and that can include, the name of the facility, the date, and the general description of the scenario. And that will also, in our case, typically include a list of the exercise participants, as well as any evaluators and any instructors or any exercise delivery team that's part of that exercise. And then what we like to do is put an executive summary up front there as well in terms of the objectives, in terms of how the exercise unfolded, how the team worked. But again, high level, summary that high-level summary that will allow anybody that's going to be reading the report an overview of how it unfolded. And then we get into some of the details. The next section, which is section three, is about the plan. So is there a plan for that location? Where is it stored? How is it stored? Is it secure? When was it reviewed? What was the date of the next review? And when was it last tested? So they're the types of questions that you can have in there. And then the next one is pre-incident, prevent, and protect. And again, this is in our particular case. So we look at three main areas here. We look at horizon scanning, or we look at assessing vulnerabilities. And so does the organization come together on a regular basis to evaluate what their risk may be from a crisis perspective? And so there are a number of questions in that particular section. The next section is training and exercises. And as we are, you know, the exercise organization that provides exercises, I'm just going to go through these in a little bit more detail. And so here are some of the questions. Is there a training and exercise policy? That's one of the questions that we ask. Is there a crisis or incident management training and exercise program? So is there a bigger program on top of the policy? And is that clearly defined? Has the crisis or incident management team been trained? And so that's a good question to ask. And how often does the team conduct training? Are there documented records of training and exercises, including the dates, who attended, where it took place, and you know some of the specifics around what the exercise or what the training was? Are exercises conducted at least annually? Also, what type of exercise was used to evaluate the plan and crisis incident response capabilities? And is there an official review of the training and exercise program? So there's just some examples of that particular section. The final piece in this particular section is the actual crisis or incident management plan. So in here, it talks about the policy of the plan. Does it come from top management? It talks about the processes and procedures in the plan. A number of other things in terms of, you know, does it have a call-out procedure and so on and so forth. So some specifics around the actual crisis management plan. So that was section four. That was pre. And I will lay these out in terms of certainly the high-level pieces within the show notes. The next section is event response. So as you can see, we're following kind of a bit of a pattern here. We've had the general, we've had the executive summary, we've had some emergency plan info, as well as all the pre-stuff that we can get out of the way, sometimes even before the exercise starts. So the pre-incident stuff we spoke about in section four. And now we're going to go into section five, which is event response. So how this is in general terms. How did the organization respond? How did teams respond as the exercise unfolded? And so there is a couple of, I'm not going to go into any of these in any detail here. I'm just going to cover them off. The high level ones is basically four sections within here. So we have general information. And then we talk about the situation room or the emergency operations center capabilities. So some really good questions that come up within that section that analyzes how the team worked within that environment, within that room or multiple locations, if they've got more than one situation or room or EOC. And then leadership, which is really important. So we touch on leadership in terms of the leader being able to stabilize the situation, being able to coordinate, you know, how you know, and this is really about rating the leader and how he or she was able to manage the event, make decisions based on the information that they were being provided by their team. And then we have crisis communications. Again, that's another section within five here. Goes into a lot of detail, or can go into a lot of detail in terms of the public affairs piece. So, you know, did we have a very specific strategy for dealing with communications? Did we have various stakeholders pre-planned in terms of who's going to talk to those stakeholders, what we're going to say to them, who makes those calls, who's responsible for those calls? So really, all communication-related pieces in terms of the exercise within that particular section. So that was section five, event response. And then we go into section six, which is recovery. And you've probably experienced this yourselves, but more often than not, we don't really look at recovery in too much detail during exercises. It kind of becomes this afterthought. And so really, when you start to do your objectives, start to think about some areas of recovery that you want to look at, and then feed that into your criteria. Try and have some questions in there around how we get, I mean, this really is business continuity. So how do we get the facility back up and running? How do we keep the facility running during the emergency or during a time where we're really struggling because of the scenario that's being presented to us? So think about that. And maybe some of the questions in there, some of the questions we have is critical stress debriefing. Is there a policy for that? Do we have resources available? Again, that's typically for a high impact event, so a large explosion or where we've lost some colleagues because of again, some other event that's impacted the business. So think about recovery as well. I think that's really important when you're doing your planning. It's really important both for exercises, but also in general planning for emergency and crisis preparedness. We tend to leave recovery off to the side, but really include it in your planning for exercises, but also in your general planning as well. It's really important. And then something that I want to touch on now, we got essentially is two last sections that we have. One is issues identified by the group. So during the exercise, as you're going through the exercise, issues will get raised naturally as the team is being presented with this scenario, as they're walking through and asking themselves various different questions, as they're coming up against roadblocks, they'll identify issues, and typically they'll write those down, or the exercise delivery team, the evaluators, may write them on a board at the side, and we'll collect those throughout the exercise. The onus should be on the team for pulling those issues or finding those issues and gaps themselves. If they find them themselves, they're more likely to fill those gaps or remedy those issues after the exercise as part of their requirements to improve the process, to improve the plan, capabilities, or whatever it may be. So issues identified by the group is the next section within the evaluation criteria. And the final one is the observations and recommendations, which is really the whole point of the exercise. So this is the handwritten piece in terms of what did we find during the exercise, very specific to gaps and issues that were found by the evaluation team, as well as by the team that's conducting the exercise. And so that is that's handwritten into the report at the very end. Again, the observation, the way to lay these out really is the observation. So what did you see? And then the recommendation based on what you what was seen. So that's a really important part of the evaluation criteria. So I'm just going to touch on them again. We've got general information, section one. We have the summary, the executive summary, which is two. And then we have emergency plan information, which is three. So that's specific to a site. So does that location have a plan? So that could be an office building, if you've got an office building in some part of the world. Or it could be, again, if it's a facility, an operational facility, it could be that you could be referencing there. And then we got the pre-incident, prevent and protect, which is broken down into those three areas. Assessing vulnerabilities, training and exercises, and then crisis/incident management plan specific to the organization. Event response is five, six is recovery, seven is those issues identified by the group, and then eight is observations and recommendations, and those are typically observed by the evaluation team or the exercise team, those of you that will be running the exercise. And so that's it, really, in terms of criteria. Again, that's driven by your exercise objectives. You know, take a look at those objectives. Take a look at what standards you may be required to follow in terms of regulatory requirements. It may be internal governance that also drives your criteria as well. Sometimes there's an audit requirement as well in terms of exercises, crisis management exercises, business continuity exercises, whatever it may be. And really, if you've got multiple facilities, a criteria and having a benchmark is really important. So think about your criteria, because once you've built it once, you could tweak it from time to time. That's fine. But once you've built it once, if you're going around to more than one facility and you want to evaluate those facilities, it's only fair that you go in across the board and have that criteria set so you can take a look at where each facility stands. And there are lots of great benefits from doing that, as I mentioned before. Okay, well, I hope you've enjoyed this one. This was a very brief one, but that's it for episode 13 of the Prepared X podcast. Again, please share. If you enjoyed this, feel free to send it out to your networks. Also, I mentioned this previously, and I think in our last podcast, but we do have a tabletop exercises group within LinkedIn. So tabletop is all one word. So tabletop exercises, check that out and join, because there's some great resources in there. And some great articles that people write from time to time and post. So go check those out. And that's it. Until next time, have a safe and enjoyable day wherever you may be. Thank you.